explains it well. It says, it means to look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Jesus commands us, like I said, to love our neighbor as ourself. And looking out for others' interests is part of that love that he talks about. It isn't something that naturally comes for us, at least not with the right motives. We grow up thinking that the world revolves around us and that we're the only ones that exist and that we're here to promote ourselves and give glory to ourselves. No one teaches us to be selfish. It just comes to us as a kid. You know, you just naturally like want to do what you want to do without regard to what other people think. And that's why selflessness is a thing of God and a thing of the Spirit. Selfishness is fleshly and sinful and not pleasing to God. Living a life like that will wear you out because you're a slave to yourself, and we weren't made to be slaves to ourselves. Later on in Philippians 2, verse 7, it says, Christ emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being born in the likeness of men. Christ emptied himself, meaning that he submitted to the Father's will and gave the things that he wrestled with to the Father through prayer. I spent a lot of time in prayer. In Matthew, it says that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. Meaning that our Lord spent himself on this earth to serve us, to serve humans that were not deserving of the service that he gave and the love that he gave to us. Nevertheless, he veiled his glory through his flesh, came down to the people, to become equal with the people he created, became a bondservant, meaning a slave. A bondservant is a slave, a serf, and loving us to the greatest amount that any of us have ever seen. And in the same way that Christ came to the earth and emptied himself, we too are to empty ourselves. Galatians 2:20 says, For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and Christ lives in me. It's no longer I who live. In the same way that Christ emptied himself, we too are to empty ourselves. As believers, we, in a sense, have emptied ourselves. We've given ourselves to the Lord. We're not emptying ourselves to get nothing in return. We get Christ and his Spirit in return for emptying ourselves. We empty ourselves, we give our life to him, and he fills us with his life. In college, a group of us found out that there was a good amount of homeless people in Roanoke. I go to Virginia Tech, for any of you who don't know. So Roanoke is about a 45-minute drive from Tech. And we decided that we really needed to be reaching out to these homeless people because very few people were, and they didn't know the Lord. Many of them had never even heard the gospel. And so every Saturday morning we would drive up to Roanoke, and we started going to this park because we didn't really know where they hung out, so we found this park where some of them hung out, so we started hanging out with some of these homeless people, giving them socks and just talking to them about their beliefs and about the Lord. And in the giving of our time towards these people, we didn't necessarily think of it as a selfless act. We just saw it as something we knew the Lord would want us to do and the Lord called us to do. And so we started spending more and more time with these guys. We became connected with a soup kitchen in Roanoke called Samaritan's Inn, and we started going there every Wednesday. There's a guy there named Wayne who preaches the gospel every Saturday and preaches every day, but he gives the gospel, especially on Saturdays, cause, or at least I know because I go there on Saturday. And so, so while we're at the soup kitchen one day, we walk outside, we're about to leave, and this guy is just strolling down the street. And by that time, we knew most of the homeless people because we'd been going for a amount of time. We knew their names. We knew who regularly came in and out. And this guy wasn't one of the regular people, so we're like, oh, cool, a new guy. And so we walk out and we introduce ourselves. His name was Vlad. He was actually a Russian gypsy. He immigrated here when he was younger with his parents, moved into New York, traveled down to Lynchburg, had just hopped on a train to Roanoke. Literally just got on it. He didn't like pay. He just hopped on. It's kind of funny. Anyway, this guy like obviously looks pretty homeless because he lives on the street and stuff. But we started talking to him about his beliefs, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm actually looking for a church. Do you guys know of any up here?" We're like, "Well, we don't know of any in Roanoke, but we know of one in Radford that we go to on Sundays, and this was on Saturday." And he was like, "Oh, awesome. Well, I can't really get to Radford. That's a good hour drive, so I'll just keep looking." And we're like, "Oh, no, we'll come pick you up on tomorrow, on Sunday. You can come to church with us if you want." And he's like, "Oh, awesome, yeah." And so we met him up at the library the next day in Roanoke. We drove to Roanoke and then brought him to church with us. He fell asleep, but it was okay. Because we had a good talk with him after. We usually go to a picnic with the church afterwards. And anyway, Vlad is a guy that we've continually given more and more time to spend with because we see how close he is to accepting Christ. He's very close to the kingdom. He has his Bible, little Gideon's Bible that he's carried around for like 20 years. It's crazy. But anyway, we decided to give our time more selflessly to the Lord. We decided not to use our Friday nights to go out hiking like we did at the very beginning of the year. So we didn't go hiking as much. In fact, we didn't go at all, which is something my friend group really likes to do. It's awesome to see God's glory from the top of a mountain. But we decided that sharing Christ with these homeless people on Saturday morning was in a sense, a better way to further us in our faith and share the love of God with others. And in a sense, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to look at our lives and look at our time and the time we spend each and every minute and give it to Him. He wants us to think about it selflessly and say, "Lord, how can I use this time to glorify You? How can I use this time to please You, Father?" And that's something that I definitely have learned more and more to do throughout my life as a believer, especially over this past year, trying to devote every single minute to glorifying God instead of glorifying myself. Flip over to Luke 9:23. Jesus is talking in Luke 9, and he says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." If you want to go after Christ, you must do three things. You must deny yourself, meaning that the desires that you have to promote yourself, to glorify yourself, and to live for yourself, he wants you to put down. He wants you to completely deny those desires, and tells you after that to take up the cross daily. It means that you're willing to die in order to follow Jesus. You lay down your life to follow Him. We talked about dying to self, and but here I think Christ is literally talking about like your life, not just the inner self, but also the outer self. He's saying, "Are you going to devote your life to me?" Meaning, like, the Lord may lead you to into death. Like, He has control over our lives. The Lord has power over death. And a man named David Platt put it in a little bit different terms for us. He said, "Deny yourself, take up your electric chair daily, and follow me." That's pretty much what the cross meant to them back then, though. It was the humiliating way to die. It was for the worst of criminals, and that is what the electric chair somewhat equals today. It's definitely not as humiliating as it was back then, I don't think, but That's what Christ is talking about. That's the devotion he asked for when he asked you to follow him. There is a real sense in which our call to follow Christ may lead us to losing our life on this earth. But because the gospel is offensive and people will hate it. Losing your life, though, isn't bad. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." We cannot match the outcome of us being with our Lord in heaven after we die with anything else on this earth. It's completely uncomparable, the fact of being in heaven compared to being on this earth. It's far better to be with him there than it is to be here. The Apostle Paul came to the conclusion in 1:24, Philippians 1:24, he said, "It is for your sake, speaking to the church, that I am here, that they may further in their faith, and that Christ would bring him to himself when he so desired." The only way you will have this mindset of denying yourself something that's natural to you or unnatural to you, and the mindset of taking up your cross daily, willing to follow Christ to that devotion, is by taking hold of the promises that are in the Bible. That is the core of what should hold you in that faith. Our faith is in the promises of God and that they are real, that God is good and he is sovereign, and that following him is the best thing that we can do with our lives. And that step of faith is the choice you have to make. For those of you who know the Lord, it's a choice you have to take to follow him with that devotion. Maybe you haven't, you've never thought of following Christ as being that devoted as he talks about. But it's not a light calling that he calls us to follow him. But he would like us to take it. For those of you who don't know Christ, he says in John 5:24, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death into life." Hear his word and believe in him. Transfer your trust onto him, as we talked about, as you'll continue doing it as long as you're a believer. But he calls us to transfer all our trust onto him. And by doing that, in believing in what Christ did for us on the cross 2,000 years ago, in the 30 years he spent before that living a completely sinless life, and then dying sacrificially on the cross so that God would give us his righteousness and give our sin onto him. Believing in that is what Christ says. Then the Spirit comes into you and you will carry out, you'll no longer carry out the deeds of the flesh, promoting yourself, living for yourself, feeding yourself. But rather you will live to promote the Lord and to glorify him and to live for him instead of for yourself. That is all I have to share with you guys today. I pray that the Lord has spoken to you. And we have a couple table questions to discuss. First one is, can you think of an example of a very selfless person? Whether it be in a movie, don't use Jesus because we know he's like the most selfless person. So no like Awana answers, but think of a selfless person. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe you realize how much they've given up to serve you. Maybe it's a sister or brother. But just talk about your tables.